I want to begin this message by just reading some verses that will lead up to our text. And I want to do this because as I was going through the concordance, reading verses that had to do with the subject that we're going to look at tonight, it really blessed me. It blessed me so, so much. This event just blessed my heart. And it really confirmed this to me, just verse after verse. And I want you to have the same experience that I had. That's why I want to do it this way, because this is how it came to me, and this is how I want to bring it to you. I'm hoping this will bless you too. Whenever you look at a concordance, it lists verses of Scripture in order. As you look up something in a Bible concordance, it'll give you a verse that has to do with this word or this subject. And I read one and I thought, man, that is good. That's just so good. And then I read another one and I thought, that's good. And then I read another one and I thought, man, that is good. And I finally got to one and I thought, that's our text. That one's our text. So let me just read some of these to you, okay? I'm going to not necessarily deal with the story around these verses. I'm just going to read the verses. And this is what I want to ask you to do before we do this. Ask the Lord silently in your heart if He will make this to be a blessing to you. We come in, we fervently love each other and hug each other and glad to see each other. Now we've sat down. Let's see if the Lord will let us leave everything for just a minute. And I want to encourage you young people to do the same thing. You young people, I want you to quietly in your heart ask the Lord to make His word to be a blessing to you. The Lord blesses His word to the hearts of His people. So maybe He will prepare us. Maybe He will make us ready. Just like Lydia, it says the Lord opened her heart. Ask the Lord to open your heart to this, okay? Let me just read these verses. The first one is in Exodus 18. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18, verse 9 says, "And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom He had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians." Verse 8 says, "Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom He had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians." Jethro rejoiced over that. Turn with me to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 18. "And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He said, all my goodness, I'll make it pass before you. All my goodness. All my goodness. Turn over to 1 Kings 8. It's after Samuel. 1 Kings. And look with me at verse 66. 1 Kings 8, verse 66. It says, on the eighth day, Solomon sent the people away, and they blessed the king. That means they thanked the king, and went unto their tents, joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. All the goodness. Go with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness. What a thing to be reading. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness. Look at Psalm 27. Verse 13. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, that's what keeps me going. Believing that I will see with my own two eyes the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. One more. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, that I would praise the Lord and we would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Those are good, aren't they? All right, now go with me to the one that will be our text. It's Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63, verse 7 says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses. Amen. Amen. Every child of God will come to that conclusion right there. Every child of God. In the end, all of God's people will say that very thing. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us in the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Every child of God will say, that's what I'll mention. That's what I'll mention. That's what I want to talk about. All you have to do is get them together. All you have to do is get God's people together. And that's what they'll mention. That's what they'll talk about. They will mention his loving kindness. They will mention his goodness. They will mention his mercy. They will mention how worthy he is to be praised for it. Now, I want to personally mention those things tonight, but before I do, I want to glory in this right here. The heading at the top of my page, I know that our headings may be a little different, but the heading at the top of my page says, Christ showeth who he is and his power to save. That's what this is about, okay? This is Christ speaking. When I read that, I thought, how glorious is that? This is Christ speaking. He is the one right here who is saying, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. That's Christ speaking. In this chapter, he's mentioning every bit of that. He's telling us what it is. Now, what is it? What is the loving kindness and what is the praise and what is the goodness and what is the mercy of the Lord? What is it? Look with me at verse 1. He says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments? Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments? Edom means red. When you look that word up, it means red. Who is this that is coming in red stained garments? From Bozra. That means the sheepfold. Who is this coming out of the sheepfold in red stained garments? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Who is it? That's the question. Who is this? Who is it? He answers. He said, it is I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's who it is. It is I. It is I. Isn't that what he said to the disciples? He said, fear not. It is I. It is I. The question then continues. It comes in verse 2. It says, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? Why are your garments? What is covering you? What has been laid on you? Why are they dyed so blood red? He answers the question in verse 3. He says, it's because I have trodden the winepress alone. That's the reason why. The winepress of the judgment of my people. That's what the winepress was. The winepress of the vengeance that had to come down on God's people. It had to. It had to. The violent wrath that had to come down on their sin. This is a holy God and it had to come down. Verse 3, he said, I have trodden the winepress alone. And of the people, there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. He's saying, vengeance is mine on their sin. And he's saying, I will make the vengeance that must come down on their sin to be mine. Vengeance is mine on their sin. And I will make the vengeance that has to come down on their sin to be mine. I will lay that vengeance that's owed to them. I'll take that vengeance upon myself. I have laid that vengeance on myself. I have judged them. I have been judged for them. I have been just in justifying them. Verse 3, he said, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I have the power to do this. He said, I lay down my life. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This have I received of my Father. Verse 4, he said, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. He said, it's in my heart to do this for my redeemed. It's in my heart to do this for them. God has a particular people that he has chosen to show his goodness to, and he's chosen to show his mercy to, and he's chosen to show his loving kindness to. And every time a great sinner hears that, he or she thinks, why? Why would he choose to show such goodness and love and mercy and kindness? Why? It's what it pleased him to do. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He's merciful. He said, it was in my heart to do it for them. And he said, the great day came that I did it. I did it for them. Verse 5. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. He's saying, the fire of my anger against the sin of my people, that furious war that he had to encounter with the sin of his people. God is angry with the wicked every day. That's me in this flesh. The anger of the Lord was kindled against the sin and rebellion against him. He went to war with our sin. He went to war with our sin. Our sin. That conflict was in him. And he said, my fury did not ease until victory over the sin of my people was won. And he's saying, I wasn't eased at all until all that enmity and all that blasphemy and everything that they were in their sin was dead. He said, until that happened, my fury held me up. Held my arm up. Paul said, I was crucified in Christ. I was crucified. I was killed, slain under the judgment of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That war raged on until everything that was against him. This is such wonderful news. That war raged on until everything that was against him was dead, and the battle was his, and the war was over, and he'd gotten the victory. Now, what do you call that? What do you call God dealing with his people that way? He said in verse 7, I call it the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Now, what we just read right there, that taking place, you know, that takes place on all sin, all sinful men and women, that taking place outside of Christ, that's called the condemnation of the Lord. That's not called the loving kindness of the Lord. Judgment, when God rained down judgment in the days of Noah, judgment fell on everybody. Judgment fell on Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. God's judgment came down on all eight of them in the ark. In the ark, they were in the loving kindness of God. Outside the ark, they were under the condemnation of God. And outside of Christ, that's just the vengeance and the wrath and the judgment of God on sin. But in Christ, if all that happened to us in Christ, that is called the loving kindness of the Lord. That's called his mercy. That's called his goodness to his people. Verse 8 says, we'll read verse 7 again. He said, I'll mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Verse 8 says, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. That means children who he is going to rid them of their lies. He's going to rid them of their sin. He's going to make them holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 8 goes on to say, so he was their Savior. Verse 9 says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Is that not glorious? Is that not goodness? 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 Look at verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Is that not us? What did he do in return? Verse 11 says, he remembered the days of old. He remembered his covenant. And he loved them anyway. He saved them anyway. He pitied them anyway. He redeemed them anyway. He bare them anyway. He carried them anyway. Our Lord is not good to us because we're worthy of his goodness. He's good to us because of his covenant. That's why he's good to us. He's good to us because he made a covenant. He's good to us because he's faithful to his promises. He didn't see anything in us. You know, we just sang that song that I love so much. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. I quote it all the time. That first verse, I love it. To hear the courts of heaven ringing, singing. Oh, the love. I love that song. But verse 3 says, I wonder what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. Sin. That's what he saw in me. That's why he suffered such deep agony. It was sin. It wasn't anything in us that caused him to do that in the first place. It's not anything in us that keeps us in his favor and loving kindness. It's his faithfulness to his promise. His faithfulness. That's why the Lord is good to us. That's why we will mention his goodness to us. That's what we will mention about it. He has promised to be good to his people, and therefore he will be. He will be. Turn over to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, Verse 14 says, "And I will satiate." That means fill up. That means satisfy. "I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord." My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. That's why the Lord is good to us. It's because He has promised to be. And He is so faithful to His promises. So faithful. In closing, turn with me to Romans 8. Any guesses what verse we'll be reading? Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." All things work together. Together for good. All things in Christ, it's all things. I've told you before that at some point toward the end of Brother Henry Mahan's human life, he decided that he had heard all the bad news he was ever going to hear. He was done with bad news. No more. It did not matter what you complained to him about. His response was, "But it's good, right?" "Well, I mean, but it's good, right?" "Well, actually, you know, honestly, but it's good, right?" It's good. It's good, whatever it is. It's good. Whatever it is, it's goodness to God's people. Whatever it is. I think we all love the story of George Whitefield riding on his horse to go preach. He was riding in the pouring rain. And he's just complaining the whole time and just miserable the whole time. Why all this rain? And the man jumps out to rob him. And his flint pistol won't go off because it's soaking wet. And George Whitefield cries, "Thank you for the goodness of dumping rain on me." Absolute goodness. Goodness. All goodness. It's all. I wish we could see what God sees right now. One day we will. William Cooper wrote, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread, you know there are dark clouds ahead. You know they are. The clouds you so much dread, like, oh no, no, please don't let that one come over. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head." It is always goodness for God's people, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. Let's mindfully, heartfully mention that. Let's remember that. Let's mindfully, heartfully praise the Lord for His goodness to us. That first scripture, the first one we read, it says Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord has done to Israel. I'm telling you, the Lord has been good to us. He has been so good to us. Let's do that with Jethro. Let's rejoice. Let's do that in our hearts and in our minds. And let's constantly make mention of that to each other. Like the scripture says, comfort one another with these words. Let's make mention of these things. He has been so good to us. Let's praise the Lord for His great goodness that He has bestowed on the house of Israel. All right, Brother Dwight, you come.